I want to bring a message this afternoon, and I'm going to do something I've never done before, which is I'm going to take Brother Branham's text, I'm going to take his subject matter, and then I'm going to use almost all the scripture he used, and then I'm going to talk about what he gave us and sort of digest some of that scripture and bring it out this afternoon. Now, the subject is the anointed ones of the end time. And as Brother Branham said, say exactly what I said, that's what I intend to do. He said, concerning anointed ones of the end time, he said exactly, and I almost quoted verbatim, that at the end time there would be men who would be correctly anointed to the power of God, but falsely anointed to the Word. Now, this is the subject matter then. Can you get it back there? Okay, so this is the thought of the afternoon message, the anointed ones of the end time, and we'll see what there is in this, not to prove the prophet right, because he was right, vindicatedly so, but to show many facets from the Word of God that the anointed ones of the end time could not appear until this age, and bring out what he said in a way that it's absolutely perfect and cannot be disputed. But before we do, let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Eternal Father, we ask in our Lord to be with us here as concerning the Word, O God, so that nothing shall be said which ought not to be said, and may it be said in such a way, Lord, as to be perfectly apprehended by the people. Praying, Lord God, that the Word given shall be in the Holy Ghost, the Word received shall be in the Holy Ghost, and Lord, the edification shall be by the Holy Ghost until we're built up to that stature of the perfect man in Jesus Christ, Lord, in this end time, so that we will never be swayed nor moved by the cunning of man, the craftiness of man, or by doctrine or anything else, but be absolutely unshakable in the truth as it is in the last days. And we shall give you the praise because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read, of course, in Matthew 24, which is exactly where he read, beginning at verse 23 to about verse 26. And that if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall send to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Now, he used the text, of course, 24, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, but of course it is not, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, you will notice here that Jesus himself is prophesying, and he has prophesied that in the end time, which is the day in which we're living, that there would be a most amazing thing take place, that there would be loosed among the people of God. That's true. Loosed amongst the people of God, there would be certain ones with the power to deceive everybody but the elect. Now, that's what it says. There'd be loosed among the people of God, Christians. Those ones who will deceive, they will deceive. Not that they're going to take a crack at deceiving. See? Not that they're going to try to deceive. They're going to do it. See? Everybody but the elect. Now, let us look at this very carefully to understand it. First, you will notice that Jesus said what would be loosed among the people of God, the Christians. And he said there would be false Christ. Now, these false Christs are called lying prophets. And they are not two people, they are one people. It is not false Christ and lying prophets, as though you've got false Christ here to my left and lying prophets to my right. As Brother Branham brought out very carefully on anointed ones at the end time, they're the same thing. And that is absolutely correct, because in the Greek, you'll notice the word KKAI, as it's brought in English, is not always a conjunction in the sense of and, but it is used as even. So therefore, it would read in the English perfectly, there shall arise false Christ, even false prophets, or as the Greek says it in the English a little better, lying prophets. Lying prophets. See, they're dealing in lies. Now, we don't have to just go to the Greek to explain this, as though you have to go to the Greek to be able to know what the Scripture says. But if you look back here in Matthew 7, and 15, and just hold it there, and you notice in Matthew 24, Jesus has said, behold, I told you before about this situation. What situation? False Christ, lying prophets, going to show signs and wonders, and all but the very elect will get deceived. Now, where did he tell us about this before? Where did he speak about it? All right, it's over here in Matthew 7. He told them before. What did he say before? Beware of false prophets. He's not talking about two things here now. He's talking about one thing. What is it? False prophet. So, what is false Christ? They're false prophets. I told you before. Now, he said false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, see, it's a wolf in a sheep's clothing. And then he goes on to talk about it. Now, I'll come back to this in a minute or two, but the question comes up now. He's talking about a false prophet. What is a false prophet? See, now anybody can get an idea what a false prophet is. And I don't say that they're wrong, because they may be right if they are with the Word of God. See, your idea and my idea what a false prophet is isn't necessarily what God's idea is. So to know what we're talking about, let's go to Scripture and see what a false prophet is. And of course, we go to Deuteronomy 13:1-3. And here's where we're going to find out if there is such a thing as a man that's correctly anointed to the power, but falsely anointed to the Word. Now let's find out. It's just that simple, that it's in the Bible. We don't argue, we don't fuss, we say amen. They say, well, Brother Bill, I don't understand it. Well, all right. How many understand how they put the gold leaf on this wallpaper up here? You don't understand it? Well, why don't you light a match and burn the building down? Or scream it's not there. See, you say, well, I wouldn't do that. Why, we accept what we don't understand. 99% of our existence is accepting what we don't understand. See? But if it's perfectly laid out in Scripture, then we're in good business. So let's read over here in Deuteronomy now. And say, you better just leave this here without this man. Now, it says, if there rise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. Now what is he? He's a prophet. What has he got? A genuine sign and a wonder. Then what's he do? Takes you right away from God by what? A word contrary to God's word. Now, you can't deny he's correctly anointed to the power. Let's find out if I'm telling you the truth. If he's correctly anointed, and God has loosed this man amongst the people, like I have said a while ago. It says here, thou shalt not hearken to that prophet, to the words of that prophet. Notice, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet. It didn't say turn around and blast the guy and say, hey, that's a phony sign. Did it? Then don't put it in there. No, sir, it didn't say that you judged the sign. The sign was okay. The demonstration of power was all right. But it said, you watch his what? Word. Is that correct? Well, come on, is that right? Now, what are you watching for? Word. Huh? What are you watching for? Word. Is that right? Come on now. You're Branhamite, bless God. You've been taught by the prophet. So you don't mind an old bird like me getting up here. You show me why I'm saying something different than the prophet of God. Now listen. For the Lord your God proveth you. Huh? Who's doing the proving? God. And who do you send among them? False prophets. What do they got? An absolute correct anointing of power, but they're off of that word. And he said, look at the signs. He said, you'll find the signs okay. Don't go telling those signs to the devil. Don't go putting them down in the wrong area. Don't get off your rocker and prove yourself a fool. Those signs are genuine. But he said, you watch that word. See? I'm glad you're with me, bless God, because I hope I'm with the prophet. That'll get us all to God. That's right. To know, it said, prove with you. Now notice he proved with you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Where does the love of God lie? In that word. Loving that word. Why? Because God is the word. See? All right, now I don't believe I need to go further than to prove what we're talking about is absolutely correct there. Now, let us examine and see why a false prophet is a false Christ. And we go to Deuteronomy 18, 20-21. Now, notice. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall, now he's talking now. Here's the talking. Or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die.
Now, if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid. Now watch it. It says here that nobody but a genuine prophet of Almighty God can come in the name of the Lord with thus saith the Lord. Nobody but nobody. Now, challenge you. I don't care how many living in this day came and said, I've had a vision of God and I've got this and you listen to me. I want to tell you, I'll brand that man a fool in his folly according to God's word, because you can have the most perfect vision in this world and not come thus saith the Lord. You don't know, God said, I will not back up that man who comes in my name with thus saith the Lord unless it is thus saith the Lord. There's a fellow here now. I don't think you took recognition of the fact he was there in Tucson, named Garrett. Garrett, not too long ago, wrote a magazine. Somebody sent him in. I was reading my sister out of Canada. I was burned up. So in there, he said, Brother Branham prophesied that the Los Angeles was going to go down. Now, let's just name the dates my way, because I can't remember what the dates were according to this fellow, Garrett. You say, why he mentioned names? Because he put his name on his paper. I'm going to call him by name. See, he asked for it. Now, look, he said there, and let's make the dates up. July the 7th, 1967, L.A. was going to sink. Brother Branham never did set a date. Now, here's what this fellow said. He said, the trouble with these people that set dates, and they're wrong. He said, I had a vision one time, and that vision was absolutely perfect. I saw and I knew it was God. And like a foolish person, he said, I got up, and I said, thus saith the Lord, and the vision failed. Amen and amen. There's a man that'll stand in judgment day condemned by his own word. Why? He speaks about it. No, he turned the Bible down. He said, bless God, I've got signs and wonders. I've got some too. Well, what's he got some too of? Is it the anointing towards the power? Any man can have the anointing of power. I don't care who he is. But he can have that anointing of power and be outside of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it profits nothing. Now, Paul said, I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not loved, it profits nothing. If I give my body burn and have not loved, it profits nothing, then nothing is nothing. He said, I am nothing. Well, if you're nothing, you're nothing. How can you be elected God and be nothing? Why, it is ridiculous. To me, as I see the simplicity and the power of the prophet's message, I wonder how anybody can be so blind. Because you can't take one thing that man of God said and not trace it down the word and find it absolutely bearing like a monstrous trumpet bearing out of you. Every word, absolutely in line by what God says. Now, God says, I will not back up anybody with thus saith the Lord, unless it is thus saith the Lord. See? Signs and wonders you can have. Genuine vision. You can have dreams, portents, all these things. Absolutely genuine. But there's something tricky here. And I use that word, not lightly, but to get your attention, tricky. Showing you the possibility of a snare, and that is word, W-O-R-D. See? Now, there is the thicker. You show me anybody that teaches this message the way we do, except those that follow the prophet. We're the only one, not patting us on the back, because this is the great, but we are the only ones anywhere who see the truth of this and have any understanding whatsoever that you watch that word. Only the very elect. And that word elect in the Greek is ek and logos, those who come out by the word. See? The only reason you come out of an eagle's egg is because you've got eagle life. The only way you come out of this word is because you got the word in you. Jesus himself said, the reason you don't hear my word and understand, because there's no place in you for it. In other words, something was missing. See? All kinds of room for signs and wonders. Loaves and fishes, feed the multitude, all kinds of room for this and that. Both in organization, creeds, and dogmas. But when it comes to the word, this is, I call that tricky part. Now, you pardon the expression, but you know what I'm talking about. The part that's subtle, the part that's dangerous. Because you can get fooled if you're looking anywhere but word upon word by the prophet. You follow me? All right, I'm glad. That's a good bunch of people. I think you see the point. Now, so you find here a man that's correctly anointed to perform signs and wonders, but he does not have thus saith the Lord. He is falsely anointed to the word, but correctly has the power. This is exactly what Matthew 24:24 says. There shall arise false Christ, one word, pseudo Christos, even false prophets. And the word false here means the opposite as opposite to the truth. The opposite to the true prophet is, he hasn't got thus saith the Lord, he cannot stay with the word. He can do everything else. And he may even do it better. He may even do it better. Right, he may do it better. A whole lot better. In fact, if you don't understand me, shall I name some names where they have big tents? And thousands, and prayer lines that are stupendous, and healings that are monumental, crowds, records, thousands coming in. Why, if you want to see something done, you must go to the man that has some type of organization. Why? Because he efficiently is doing the work. Well, that's the 20 minutes little subject right there, so we'll just drop it. All right. But a true prophet is one who comes with the correct anointing to the power and the word. See? Now, that's true. Now, let's go back to Matthew 7 and prove this out. Because remember, he said, what I'm telling you now about the end time, I've already told you about, and we showed you where it was in Matthew 7. All right, now let's take a little time here. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, notice, they are inwardly ravening wolves. Now, listen, it doesn't say a wolf in wolf's clothing. Now, don't let your mind trick you. Because if you've been amongst people like I have, different denominations, right away that old mind of yours would just stop, it'll bog right down and say, yes, I see it. It's a wolf in wolf clothing. But the Bible does not say a wolf in a wolf clothing. It says a wolf in a sheep clothing. So let's get all understanding now. Everything on the outside is absolutely the way the Scripture designates it ought to be as per visual observation. But remember, you don't visually observe the word. You inwardly apprehend it, comprehend it, and know by revelation the word. See? So on the outside, this man is a sheep. What does a sheep do? Well, he's got this and this and this and this, and even in a little while. And now this man, he's a wolf, but he's got the very same thing on the outside that the sheep has. See? Now let's look at this scripture. I marvel at a man, at God, because Jesus was God. I marvel that the one who is the source of all wisdom and revelation and all everything should so mess up the language the way he did. Now, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just playing a point here so you'll make your perk ears up, see? Yes, how could he be all messed up the way he talks? Well, let's just see what he says here. He said, here is a false prophet, a wolf in sheep's clothing. You shall know them by fruit. Woo! Wolves and sheep, he suddenly jumps to fruit. Say, oh boy, has this guy got his metaphor mixed up. No, he's mixing you up. Sure, he wants to see if you're in the word, got revelation understanding. Suddenly it's a sheep, and now here's fruit. Here's a wolf, and now it's fruit. You don't get fruit off a sheep and wolf. You get fruit off a tree. So right away you know that he's not talking about what you think he's talking about. See, first one. This mixed metaphor, so to speak. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Now he's getting clear. For even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now he's changed from a sheep and wolf to trees and fruit. Well, that's pretty good now. Let's see what else would happen. It says, every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, let's just take a look at this. Every good tree brings forth good fruit. That's right. But a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. I want to ask you a question. Where can you find in the Word of God, God ever planted a corrupt tree? There's no scripture for it. Never was a corrupt tree. As per se. You show me where such a thing as rotten fruit came from a tree. The tree was originally good. The fruit was originally good. But something happened. Now we're getting down to brass tacks. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Two trees in the garden. One was the tree of life. The other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And good came before evil. Now what's the tree of good and evil? A perverted tree. So what is it? It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the word of God perverted. And he tells you right here. He said, watch them. They'll bring you the word of God perverted. not love, joy, peace, and tenderness and all these truths of spirit according to Galatians 5? No. That's not it. You say, are you sure you're right? Check your tape. The very first few minutes of the anointed ones of the end time, Brother Branham categorically states that the fruit is not the gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, those nine fruits, but it has to do with the Word. And if he had said anything different, I have proven by Scripture he would not have been in line with what God gave by his Spirit here. See? Now follow further about these people. He said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of the Father? Well, now let's look at the will of the Father. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Glory to God, says the short-haired, little tippy-toe, dancer type of Pentecostal woman preacher. And she said, hallelujah, with anointing, that's me. I'm going to all the world and preach the gospel, glory to God. Sit down, gal, you're out of line. Well, Brother Bill, that's the will of God to preach the gospel. Shut up, but not to you. Don't talk about the will of God, brother, sister, if you don't cite that word of God. See, you say, yeah, I'm going to do the will of God. The will of God is just not that simple. The will of God is not what you think it is. The will of God is being 100% in this word, doing what he wants. Amen. See? All right, brother, you say, and lay hands upon the sick and they should all recover. That's what is written. It is all written. Let them call the elders confessing their sins. Let them be anointed oil. Well, Brother Bill, God's given us the authority. Behold, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any means hurt you. You'll trap box serpents or this and that. Go on, do it. Yeah, God gave you that authority, but according to his word, because he said, for this reason many are sick among you, therefore don't you dare take off what God put upon them for judgment. He said, many are going to come in that day. And he said, only those who do the will of the Lord shall enter into heaven. Why? Now listen, he's explaining it. Many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Did God tell you to prophesy? Absolutely, God told you to prophesy. Did God tell you to speak in tongues? Absolutely, God said speak in tongues. Did God say get revelation? He sure did say get revelation. What did he say to get it? Go in a little room over there in the corner. Amen. Take it off the church floor and put it in the corner where God said to put it. Bring on your tape recorder. I feel real religious right now. You're a good crowd. I need to be here for 4 hours. I feel real good now. The prophet of God said concerning gift ministry, he said, we'll soon find out whether it's God or not, because when you apply the words, you'll see what they do. And he said, take those gift ministries and put them in a separate room, write down what he said, and see if it comes to pass. And they said, fooey, they walked out the door, proving it's a bastard child. What's a bastard child? It's a proper act bringing forth a child by the two wrong people. Creeds and dogmas mixed up with the word bring forth a bastard every day of the week. Simple as ABC. Now he said here, they'll come in that day, and they say we prophesied in thy name, cast out devils. Lord, but you told us to do it. Yes, he said, I told you. Also qualified who was going to do it. Under what condition? You see now? And thy name done what it works, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. And that iniquity is the worst kind, because you take what God gave you, the power of God itself, and use it against God's own word. That's bad as a preacher taking a club and clubbing the people with it. The same rotten thing of spirit. Sure it is. It's perverted, see? It's taken now. You see what God, where Christ said, I showed you before these things? He told you. Now he said, look, he said in Matthew 24, here is where it's going to happen. And he links this with the judgment, which judgment has to follow the seventh church age. See, you say, well, I thought the honeymoon was. That's right, it does. But the honeymoon, everything stands still. The church age and all stand still. The honeymoon goes on, and then suddenly they're right back where they started. See? All lines up perfectly. Now, let us just see something here. It says in Matthew 24, now let's look at it. There shall arise, A-R-I-S-E, false Christ, even lying prophets. The word arise in the Greek is that word a gyro, which means to waken up, and is applied primarily to sleepers. It says here in plain English that until the end time, this spirit of the false prophets would be sleeping. But there would come a wake-up time. Isn't it strange that Matthew 25 follows Matthew 24? Because when he talks in Matthew 24 about the false, in other words, he goes over and talks about the sleeping, and they need arousing, right? Sleeping virgin. Now, it says over here in Matthew 25:7, and all the, it says, and all those virgins arose. It's wake up time. And they arose and trimmed their lamp, and you trim your lamp by the word of God. See, it's wake up time. Now at wake up time, when the virgins awake because Christ is coming, this slumbering spirit of the false Christ also wakes up. The Bible says so. Because the word means to rouse out of sleep. It doesn't mean you've been sitting down here. Now, if I caught one of you sleeping, I could go down and wrap you, not ever so gently, and wake you up. See? That is what this word in the Bible is. It means to arouse from your sleep. See? Now, the word, the church, the bride, the virgins and all have been sleeping. That's right. See, some have been in the grave even. But they're all sleeping at the end time in the midnight hour. Now, at the end time, as they are sleeping, and this spirit has been sleeping, remember, because the end time is here, now it's wakened. And you see, for the first time in the history of the church, the false prophet spirit comes to test everybody and deceive everybody but the elect, because the Bible says so. Now, this is spoken of also in 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter now. It's showing you every word the prophet said was right, and the time he said it was right. It could not have come before. Now, Peter, 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verses 15 to 21. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my defeat to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not devised a forward cunningly devised fable. Now, what's a fable? A fable is a lesson with a moral to it. But the word of God is a lesson with life to it. The fable does not impart life. It merely gives you a code of ethics. And the Bible teaches us, if you are then off the word of God in any place, you are merely a child of fables and morals. You are not a child of life. Now he said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming. Now watch what happens about what he made known about the very power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses in Matthew, where? In Matthew 16 and 17, where Christ says, come and you shall not taste death till you see the Son of Man come in his kingdom. And there before them on Mount Transfiguration, there was absolutely transformed before their eyes. They saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus Christ in glorification. Now remember, the Bible said that he bore them up. In other words, James and John and Peter did not walk up that mountain, but according to the literal Greek, Christ picked them up and bore them up like a rapture. Amen. We're coming close. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What his majesty? As a king. For he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now, you can't beat that. I want to ask you a question. Just let's not be glib now with our answers. But let's really examine our heart. If you and I had that experience today, would we or would we not rank it above the dull pages of this word? Well, I use that word dull in there very, very... Well, I did it on purpose. To see if I could track it. What could be greater than to have Jesus, to have God himself, raise you up to the mountain and there see into the ineffable glory and see Moses and Elijah and Jesus Christ transfigured. And you knew it was right because you heard that voice say, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And there you were in that glory, see? Now he said we heard it. But notice what Peter said. He wasn't anybody for Pentecostal bait. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. See? He said this was wonderful. This was great. We appreciate this. It was tremendous. But he said there's something bigger than this. Huh? You believe it? Well, as Peter said, we've got a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, but the prophecy came not in old time, but unto a man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It tells you right there, I don't care what phenomena produce, I don't care how real it is. I don't care how much it jives with Scripture. Let what comes out of it be the Scripture itself. See, Peter said, I'll put the whole thing aside. You say, Brother Bill, the Bible said he was sick. I say, amen. I'll get a man out here, he was sick. You say, that's got to be a God. I say, check what he says. Does he say what the prophet says? Then put it down. You say, but this man, look, look at this lovely little girl from Pittsburgh. Yeah, sweet little Catherine. There she is with thousands of souls they claim she's won. She's got a miracle ministry that makes the folk coffin and then take off their shoes and walk on holy ground. There she is standing up and she says, I do not preach, yet her own mountain of TV broadcast says we'll have a Bible study on Thursday, and she's doing it. She's got signs and wonders at Pacamin and in Toronto and in Youngstown and in L.A. They get up at 3 in the morning to stand all night. Thousands and thousands are healed by the power of God. You say, I'll take that. Go ahead. I'll turn it down flat on the bridge. I will walk across the street. Say, Brother Dave, you're mean. Oh, you betcha I'm mean. I'm fighting for my life. Yeah, I'm going around. You go if you want. What right has any woman got to preach that word? She can't do it. See? And men backing her up. Then some of those same men stand up and say, Brother Branham was a great prophet. He was a prophet, why'd you listen to him? Peter was a great prophet, and he said, we saw this tremendous sign and wonder there in the Holy Mount. We absolutely were partakers. Listen now, because I'll go to Hebrews 6 pretty soon. He said, we were absolutely partakers of that vision itself of the coming glory of Almighty God, that great kingdom coming upon us. And he said, I turned from it to the Word of God. Something greater. Well, man, I tell you what, this word here kind of confused me at times. And I see things here and I can't live up to it. I don't care if you can't or not. Take it anyway. Take it anyway. Bible didn't say anything about this or that or the other thing. It says this is greater. Now listen, in the second chapter, remember the Bible was not written with punctuation or chapters. And if you want to know who divided the Bible, and I've got nothing against him, it was a little Roman Catholic priest in France. And it's good for the eyesight. But it's lousy for revelation. I don't care if Roman Catholic Anglican or Episcopalian or Nazarene or Methodist Lord did it. I'm just telling you who did it. No difference to me who did it. God didn't do it. So good continues. But there are, now notice in this word here, but there were false prophets among you. No, sir. Wrong translation from the Greek. There arose false prophets from among the people. There arose. That same word in the Greek, a gyro, roused out of sleep. Where was it? That same slumbering spirit. In other words, there all the time, but it did not come into full visibility. Something like Brother Branham opening the field. It was there all the time. It was just slumbering, so to speak. Everybody groggy to it, sleep to it. Came the day when there must be the arousing. Trim your lamp, see? Now there arose false prophets also among the people. Among the people, notice where are they? Amongst the people of God, even there shall be false teachers. What did Brother Branham call a false prophet? A man falsely anointed, teaching the word, teaching it wrong. Right? Among you, Peter prophesied it, who shall privately bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Lord. What are you going to deny? The word of Almighty God. And when you deny that word, who you deny? Christ, because he is that word. You know, when Brother Branham preached Christ the word so much, it's just as though he brought us a changed name of Jesus. He called him the word, the word, the word, the word. This end time, he's known as that word. I don't say pray in the name of the word, pray in Jesus' name. I'm just bringing you a tremendous thought here of what age we're in, see? Now even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Notice, pernicious. They're like pernicious anemia. When it gets a hold of a children, destroy it. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken out. And through covetousness, they shall with vain words make merchandise of you. You show me any man in the field that didn't make merchandise of you looked at it, Brother Branham. The only man that didn't lift an offering or have a program or anything else. You couldn't program him. Oh, that made people mad. I used to wonder myself how we couldn't program him until the word of God showed me. You can't do it, see? Then I said, that's great. I love it. See, notice, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and whose damnation slumbereth not. Notice it. He said, there comes a time when this spirit shall be wakened again and brought among the people of God. False prophets, lying teachers. See, showing great signs and wonders, but apart from the Word of God, they'll not be with that Word, word by word, line upon line. They can't do it. See, they'll depart from it. Now it says they're going to awaken. It's awakening time now. See? It's time to wake up. The 10 virgins, wise and foolish. See? Now, notice, it's also in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Now, you've heard this before, but I want to bring it to attention again in case some of you haven't heard it. Listen, Acts 2:16. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in what? The last days, said God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. See? Now listen, they said to Peter, what is this anyway? What's going on here? And he said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. What is it? The Holy Ghost coming upon people. Now listen, he jumps from the day of Pentecost to the last day. I've seen every Pentecostal theologian, and I was in the same boat myself, trying to prove that from Pentecost to the second coming of Jesus Christ corporately and literally to consort with his bride is the last day. Truly, of such stupid talk. Pentecost was the first day. This is the last day. Now he said, listen, this prophesied by Joel. In the last day, said God, I will pour out my Spirit upon A-double-L flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your women shall dream dreams, and on my men servants, and on my women servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. It says right there, and what wasn't in the first day, in the first day it was not upon yours and upon mine, said God. But it distinctly says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, and all that are far off, what? Even as many as the Lord our God shall call, which is the elect are promised a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, but in the end time, anybody and everybody can have the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon him and not be saved. Tells you right here in the Bible what's going to happen. Now you can understand why I said that Jesus Christ said that he was allowed to circulate amongst the people. Even the very bride should have circulating amongst her those who have no part of brideship. And they will deceive all but the very elect. This terrible condition of deception through this astounding and almost unbelievable means, see, was told by God in his holy word in these many instances. Now, It was foreseen, the same thing was foreseen in the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. This is Brother Branham Dallas, and I want to deal with this as fully as I can. Now, watch it. Let's begin at the first verse. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection. Now, Peter said it, Jesus said it, Paul said it. Let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptism, that washing, and of laying on a hand, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. What if God doesn't permit? Well, what about it? Huh? See, I don't understand that, Brother Bill. I don't either, but I like it. Well, it says it. What if God won't allow this? What if he won't allow? All right, let's go to Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the children back to the Father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And that word in the Hebrew is utterly destroy with a curse. Now listen, brother, sister, what if God doesn't permit Elijah to come? No rapture, eh? Right, no rapture. No rapture, no resurrection. No resurrection, no second coming, except in judgment. Blot them all out. None of that, no bride. What if God doesn't permit? So that, you say, why do you say this, Brother Dale? Because I want you to notice here, here's something that just doesn't come to pass as though, well, tickety winks, everything will just fall in order. No, sir, there's something in here to watch. Something in here to watch you to check your table. What if God doesn't? You say, oh, well, he's looking at it. Now hold it. What if he doesn't permit? Well, I'm sure he will. Now just don't talk like a fool. Paul said something might come up and God might not permit. Well, glory to God, Brother Ben. Millions now living will never die. God says in the book of Isaiah, I'm going to annul your covenant with death. So I won't do that. Well, you see what they said in Pentecost? They said in the end time they're gonna say to death or try to commit suicide. And God says, I won't let you die. You'll suffer. That's a lie in the pit of hell. In the end time, they're going to be saying we cannot die because we're going to get raptured. And God says, I'll annul that covenant of identification with Jesus Christ. You say, how? What about the token? He said, apply the blood. I don't care if you are a circumcised son of Abraham. Apply the blood or your circumcision won't mean a thing. I've got a covenant, bless God. I'm not going to die. You're a lie. I hate to say it. I want to be sweet and gentle as I can. But you and I could be in danger of being abominable liars in the face of Almighty God because that covenant with death has been annulled. And if God doesn't permit us to go to perfection, we won't get there. There's something in here to watch. There's something in here to look up. You see, that the legalists then say, well, you see, Brother Dale, you can fall away. Let's not read it the way they think it's read. Let's read it the right way. Now he said we're going to do it. If God missed. Now listen, he's going to explain the leading of this and going to perfection if God will permit it. See? If God will permit it. Now he explains it. For it is impossible, not difficult, but impossible, for those who are once enlightened, that tasted the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to live again and repent, seeing they crucify themselves the Son of God afresh, bringing open shame. Now, for the earth and so on, you know what it says. Here, I'll just skip it, and we'll look at this. Now, listen. Wherefore, well, let me just before I read that part. Let's look at the scripture again. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God, and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, turn them again to repent, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, a Christ from Roman shame. Now, getting down here, leaving the little part about the briars and all, notice. It says here, verse 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Listen, when do you burn the tares? You burn them at the end time. So therefore, what is Hebrews 6 talking about? It is talking about the end time, which is judgment. See? Now listen, what does the word in the Greek perfection mean? It doesn't only mean perfection as the perfection of God. It means conclusion. It's finishing up. See? All right, let us go on now, said this one, to the finishing up. The finishing up what? When the fire falls in judgment. Now, let's look at it. Where, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, leaving the very teaching, the very foundation teachings of the doctrine of Christ, it says, leave them. Well, you tell me what time you can leave them. It says, leave them. Now, I looked that up in the Greek under Dr. Vincent. Leaving is leave them. Oh, said one fellow, what it means is how you leave the foundation of your house and you go on to build the superstructure. It doesn't say that. It says leave them. Mr. Benson gave an educated guess. I don't believe in education for guessing. Because this is eternal life. It says leave it, so I'm going to leave it. You leave it in order what? To go on to perfection. How can you leave the teachings of Christ to go on to perfection? How do you do it? Judgment faces you now. This is the end time. Perfection is the end time, see? This is perfection is finishing. Now, notice, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Was there ever a time, my brother, my sister, when you leave repentance from dead works and faith? That's justification. And a faith toward God, what's faith toward God? To get the Holy Ghost. Of the doctrine of baptism, that washings and laying on, that's your sanctification right there, and the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of death, and of eternal judgment, and we will do this if God permits. How are you going to leave it? Why should you leave it? Because all tables are full of vomit. There's not one word of God you can trust in at the end time, because there's not one table that's not full of vomit. There is not one preacher that knows the word of God. There is not one who's got the truth. No, not one. Unless God raises somebody up. It says you've got to drop it. Say, well, now, Brother Dale, I really believe that Brother Branham was a great man of God. And I believe that end time prophet was a great servant of God. But I want to tell you, I don't think he's right here. That's prove what you are right there. Prove what you are right there. Because you want to hang on to something that God said, ditch it. God said, leave it. Leave your justification, your sanctification, your baptism, Holy Ghost. It's all worn out. It's all rotten. It's all vomit. It's all creed. It's all dogma. He said, leave it. tells you, ditch it. You know what I came to this conclusion? I found out by the time the prophet got through with me, and over a period of years when God was dealing with me, I had already jumped 90% of what I was taught and believed. And when he came, I ditched the other 99 and 9, the other 9 and 9 cents, and the only part I had right, and that was the word that, was you had to have the Holy Ghost. You say, brother, there, what a terrible testimony. No, what a good testimony. I've lined up with the word. It says, ditch it, leave it. And he said, we'll do this if God lets us. Maybe God's not going to let some of them, but he's going to let some of them. Now look at, now watch. Let's watch carefully. Now get into the Greek now from the Word of God. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. No, sir. For those who were once for all enlightened. Now let's ask a question. When were they once wrong? Like, oh, Brother Dale, thank God for Paul the Apostle. Thank God for the book. Hallelujah. Bless God. Just simmer down. Paul could not give the revelation according to 2 Corinthians 12 when he was caught up to the third heaven. John was forbidden to write the thunders. There is only once for all revelation, and that's when the mysteries of revelation can come forth. No other time. Now let me talk to you a little bit. Ever hear Mama talk to a little boy, and she say, Johnny, once and for all, I'm telling you, slam that door again, and I slam your ears. Right. In other words, for the last time, you're going to hear the Word of God. For the last time, when you hear, you lay everything aside and come to perfection, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ the Word, according to Revelation 10, 1 to 10. Well, I'm not telling you lies. The Bible says so. You think I could read this if the prophet hadn't taught me knowing the ones at the end time? No, I couldn't read it. Now listen. It says here, these ones, once were enlightened, and have noticed, and have tasted the heavenly gift. Notice it. Were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They were. Tasted the good word of God, and the power of the world to come, just like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. In other words, they've been given the whole treatment. Right. Now, listen, in verse 6. If they shall fall away. No, sir, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says having fallen aside. Not if they shall, but they have already done it. They have apostatized by turning down the once for all, the last revelation of God, which is the seventh church in Revelation. There is only once for all revelation, and that's when the mysteries of revelation can come forth. No other time. Now let me talk to you a little bit. Ever hear Mama talk to a little boy, and she say, Johnny, once and for all, I'm telling you, slam that door again, and I slam your ears. Right. In other words, for the last time, you're going to hear the Word of God. For the last time, when you hear, you lay everything aside and come to perfection, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ the Word, according to Revelation 10, 1 to 10. Well, I'm not telling you lies. The Bible says so. You think I could read this if the prophet hadn't taught me knowing the ones at the end time? No, I couldn't read it. Now listen. It says here, these ones once were enlightened and have noticed and have tasted the heavenly gift. Notice it. Were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They were. Tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, just like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. In other words, they've been given the whole treatment. Right. Now, listen, in verse 6. If they shall fall away. No, sir, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, having fallen aside. Not if they shall, but they have already done it. They have apostatized by turning down the once for all, the last revelation of God, which is the seventh church in Revelation. Now listen, it says, having fallen away. Now, the word in the Greek, of course, is deviated. Deviated. Now, you know that's a dirty word when it comes to sex. A deviator is a sex pervert. The sodomite is a sex pervert. It's a Sodom condition we see in the world that is worse than a Sodom condition, male with male and women with women perverting themselves. It is worse because they pervert the word of God. They have become deviates. Now let's look at the word deviate another way. Deviate means to step aside. What was it that Eve did? She was deceived, meaning she stepped aside from the word. And when people hear the last day message and step aside, they become a deviate. They have deviated from the word of God. Now it says, if they deviate, they fall away, which is apostatized, what happens? There's no more repentance. You've had it. It's over for this age, see? Why? Because they have left the word. Well, I haven't left Jesus. Yes, you have, because you left the word. See? There is the criterion. You can scream all you want about having a personal Savior. It is no different from Moses, say, having circumcision and proving you got circumcision. But the Pentecostal talking tongues, if you haven't got the token, you'll die in Egypt with the rest of them. It's just that simple. Now, that's what Brother Branham taught us. We know it's true because the Bible says so, see? Now, notice, the great apostasy. Let's go back to the apostasy. The apostasy, of course, is 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Third verse. Let no man deceive of any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, there's another explanation of the falling away. Same thing. Now, what is the falling away here in the Greek? In the Greek here, falling away is a separation as in divorce. So let me read it this way. Let no man deceive any means, for that day shall not come, except there first of all be a divorce. Then the man of sin is revealed. The man of sin cannot be revealed until the divorce. And the divorce takes place because of the falling away of Eve. Now, where is there a divorce in the Bible? I'm sure glad you asked it. But that was before I was answered that question, prove how smart I was. It's over here in the book of Matthew. I'd like to kick you a bit, won't hurt you. In chapter 25, listen to it. And in verse 11. No, verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. That's the marriage supper. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, don't open up. But Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. No, sir. As our own Dr. Hoyer put it so beautifully, it is not that at all. It's when he came to the door, and he knocked, he said, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. The divorce has taken place. See how the word lines up? There can only be one time the falling away. That's to turn away from the word. And when you turn away from the word, you have divorced your husband. You have cut your hair. You have pegged the prostitute. You think God will take a person into that land? He said in Jeremiah, shall not the land be greatly polluted? But he said to the bride, polluted as she was, turn again and I'll turn back to you. And he sent Elijah to do it. Elijah the prophet, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Luke 17, 30. Revelation 10, 1 to 7. See? Now you can see here, back in Hebrews, he said if they fall away, if they step aside, he said, I'm going to divorce you. See? And that man of sin cannot be revealed until the divorcement. And the divorcement cannot take place until the word of God comes. Once and for all enlightenment. See? Now, notice, he said here, if they fall away, they can't. So Paul said it. Now the word is Dr. Vincent said. He doesn't say it's difficult. He said the word in the Greek says it is impossible. No matter what you try to do, having turned down this once for all enlightenment, you cannot by any consideration come in. Now, let's look at it. What does the word renew mean? Let's look at it back here in Colossians, the third chapter. In many places, let's take Colossians. The third chapter, verse 10. You know why I preach like I'm mad, but I'm not. Oh, John, yeah, that's my nature. Now, listen. Hope you enjoy it. To me, this is just fabulous to my soul, and I hope you're getting it. In Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, notice, is renewed in knowledge. How does that new man get formed? How does the bride produce the son? It's got to be through knowledge. Sure, that's what it says. I'm not going to argue the Bible. He's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And it says that renewal cannot take place You see, they cannot be renewed to repent. What's repentance in the Greek? A change of mind. Brother Branham said, when you come and hear this message, and he said, you turn it down, you literally go to the temple, and the priest puts the altar in the air, branding you, you'll never hear again. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Brother Branham, not knowing the Greek, and not taking the, being able to take the time that I'm supposed to take with you today, he told us the truth. And I want to show you by the Bible, he spoke that truth in a nutshell, and I'm taking a whole basket full of nothing, showing you. Absolutely. The minute that you turn down that word, you cannot ever change your mind again, but you have taken that old law around your ear too, and you'll never hear again. Amen. Listen. Well, you cannot renew it. Now see what? They crucified themselves the Son of God afresh, and when he hung upon that cross and fulfilled the whole scripture to the Hebrew world at that day that he was that one, he said, Father, take their names off of them. And that's exactly what happened. There's no more repentance. Now listen, you understand, Brother Sim, people are screaming, oh, Brother Hill, talk grace, don't talk judgment. Don't you understand, Brother Sister, in the economy of God, in the, like in the days of Noah when the flood came, they were all deep people, they weren't predestinated, they weren't elect, they were ordained to this judgment. See? Don't get maudlin. The prophet tried to teach about altar calls, they're phony. Why, man, you can get enough people pulling on your coattail and telling soft stories about mother, you'll fill your altar. But let the prophet stand up and speak one word of truth in the name of Jesus Christ and prove it by dust and earth. Just sit in his face and walk off. Now, don't tell me that these people coming up are genuine. If the genuine word of God that created the world, let there be light, is no different what the prophet taught here. And that doesn't bring it in. Don't tell me we're falling for the other. I'm going to put iron in your blood, brother, sister. I don't want to make you mean and tough like me. The only thing is that all I can see is if you're coming to grips with the truth. Standing on it. Amen. Now listen. It says here, for the earth was drinker than the rain that come off the pond. Now what's he doing here? Like he started roping sheep clothing and went to trees. Now he's talking about this here. See? Well, leaving the principle. For the earth was drinker than the rain that comes off the pond. Now how often is often? Would you say seven times as often? Seven times the word of God comes, 1:3:8. At the end time, it's the seventh, it's all over. And that's what the word of God is, this rain. My doctrine shall be as rain, said Moses. See, it's all through Bible, you'll find the word of God is rain. For the rain has come oft out of heaven, he said, so is my word. See, it's the word. All right, came seven times. Now in the seventh time, remember, in the seventh age, you do not only sow, but you reap in the same season you sow. See? Because this is when the reaper, the sower overtakes the reaper. According to Amos. Now, at the end time, sowing. Now, it says here, the earth which the rain cometh up on, and bringeth forth herds meat for them who shall receive blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars rejected, and nigh to cursing, whose hand be burned. Now, listen. Watch now. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. Now listen, if all this up here does not necessarily accompany salvation, see, what is it? Tasting the heavenly gift, partaking the Holy Ghost, tasting the good word of God, the power of the world to come. See, that does not necessarily constitute salvation. Then what does accompany salvation? Word upon word, line upon line with the word of God. See? Now listen, that's what he said. For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, and so on. Now, you can see in here then, the truth of what we're talking about. Having fallen away, they cannot. Not going to fall away, but having fallen away. How? From the word of God, they have fallen, and there is no more repentance left because they turned down the word of God. Oh, I know people hate this. They say, you guys are just a bunch of mean people. You got a superiority complex and you don't want anybody saved but you. Now look, I didn't write the book. I don't explain the book. All I can do is teach what the prophet of God taught us, and he was vindicated. And the Bible says right here, you turn this down, you cannot be renewed. You're finished. When you come to grips with the word of God. Not what I teach. It doesn't matter. Now, notice, with this, in 2 Thessalonians, see, well, let's find out about this deception now, brother, sister. 2 Thessalonians, because this is deception. The second chapter, verses 8 to 12. Now, And when that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, then shall, and even him who is working, coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. That's the very core of unrighteousness itself. And what is that? What is it? Using the word of God to pervert. Now listen now. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, where's the blood gone? Where's the talk about the blood? Glory to God, I believe in the shed blood of the Lamb. So do I. Glory to God, I tell you, I believe Brother Dale's got to be so-and-so. Well, that's fine, I do too. But it says right here that the people are deceived by a strong delusion because they would not receive a love of the truth. At the end time, the great apostasy comes because people do not love that word. They don't love the truth. Now, I didn't write the book. It just said that's what happened. Now, it doesn't talk about the blood here being shed. It doesn't talk about that. It doesn't talk about identification. It doesn't talk about a thousand things that you can name the name of God in His word. It says they turn down the love of the truth. Now, just take it. What is truth? Thy word is truth, but hold it. The Methodists say this, the Baptists say this, the Presbyterians say this. What is truth? Oh, God, send a vindicated man and give us the truth. There's only one answer to the Bible, my brother, my sister, and that's a vindicated man who can prove once and for all he has the key to open that door. Or, I challenge you, there is no man living today who cannot be other than a hard-shell Baptist who says, I have a hope, but I only know when I get there. That's right. You're still getting. I don't care if you talked in tongues. I don't care if you had a vision. I don't care what happened to you. I say this afternoon in the evening right time. You and I are in the bonds of delusion. We can prove nothing. We know nothing. Yet we have anything. We have to wait in terror, in death, and in the struggle until judgment day, hoping we've made it. And we'll only know then. And where's the bride? Where's the rapture? Where's anything? They said they received the delusion because they turned down the love of the truth. They never loved that word above everything else. Their love was someplace else. See, you can't deny the word. And it says, they shall be damned who believe not the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness. You know the Septuagint, what it says over there in Joel, which is the translation of the Hebrew and the Greek, which is what Jesus used, which is what Paul used, which is what Peter used, not the Hebrew. They didn't use Hebrew, they used the Greek. Because Peter quoted from that in Acts 2:16-17, the Septuagint, right? That's where he quoted. Jesus has indicated it. He said, I have given you this food, which is the word for righteousness. Turn down the word? You turn down, my brother, my sister, that would seal the sin to being the bride standing here in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said they will say they will have a strong delusion. Now, notice what the scripture says. God, G-O-D himself, Elohim. Elohim shall send strong delusion. Now, isn't that strange? Now, can you get anybody to believe that outside of the Branhamites? Why, they laugh in your face. They don't care if it's in the Bible. They'll explain it away. They'll fuss at it. They'll stew at it. But, and they'll deny it in unbelief. And they'll say, God never did send strong delusion. What it is, God gave them the truth, and God, and they'll put it all the way around, but they won't face the word that says, God will do it. Now let's see if God does it. All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy 13 again, which I just read, and only take a second to it. What does he say here in that third verse? For the Lord your God proveth you. Who sent the prophet? False one? God did. What for? To make manifest. What's the proof to say? He never sent the prophet with the gift. That was to attract your attention. But he sent the prophet with the word to make manifest what was chaff and what was wheat. And they all went for the chaff instead of the wheat. And I'm going to prove it to you because in 1946, my God, who cannot lie, said to the prophet of God, I have sent you with a gift of healing to the world. He never said the gift of healing went to the bride. The gift of healing went to the world,
and the word went to the bride.
Amen. That's exactly the truth. Now, ushering in. Now, this is what it says in Matthew 24:24. For it says, there will be loosed among the people those who will delude them if it's possible. Now, listen. You know now, you could not possibly, now listen carefully, because this will help you what the prophet said. You could not possibly have Deuteronomy 13:3 before you had Numbers 12:6-8. Let's go back to 12:6-8. Numbers. Now remember, that goes before Deuteronomy. Now, Brother Branham quoted Numbers 12:6-8. We're going by my time or your time. In a high. My time, I should have been quit an hour ago, and your time, I got 15 minutes to go. His broke. He's going to shake it. He shook it. That's what he did. I'll teach you, see? You got it even nice to guys like me, which is, I know, pretty hard. And Deuteronomy 12:6-8. Listen now. And he said, hear now my word. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. And my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even right out in the open apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? How could Israel know the fault if they didn't first of all know the truth? So God sent the truth. He sent the true prophet, and absolutely, unequivocally, absolutely before God, no miss, every hit, he proved that he was that one. And the one that bringeth the truth. Now let the rest come. Let them do anything they want. Let them outshine the prophet. 10-1, 20-1, 100-1. Let them build universities even. That's one of my pet peeves. Let them build their universities and become governor of Oklahoma. The President of the United States. Let them produce 100 billion miracles. Let them even cause the sun to stand still. Amen, I mean it. Or to rise an hour ahead before time. I still say, let any prophet do that. They're nothing but a Janus and Jambres contained to Moses, and they're nothing but the same thing because that same spirit which has been sleeping. And remember, the real spirit of God which brings the word for every age has never slept. But he's been bound by creeds and dogmas until the prophet brought the word which loosed him to the bride after 2,000 years. Now this false spirit has arisen, but the truth has come out. And they turned the truth down. Why? Because they loved the lie. Now what is a lie? To a brother Dale, the truth shouldn't lie to you. That's where you're all wrong. The lie is nothing but the truth perverted. So they took the word of God like Paul said. He said, there shall rise among you people who take this word of God and pervert it, speaking perverse things. And that's what the prophet taught us there. I write today. The very same thing's being done. Now, what we have seen in Scripture taught us by the prophet of God has been proven in history. The case of Korah and Dathan. They had the anointing of the signs, and they wanted to put themselves in the place of Moses who received the word, and God smote them. There was Balaam. Now, you can't tell me that Moses prophesied better than Balaam, because he didn't. As Brother Branham said, Balaam's prophecy not only came to pass, but right in this day is coming to pass. And he was the anointed one which was false, absolutely, and led Israel into sin and away from God. And also there was Judas, who was here when Jesus was here. And don't you know that Judas was trying to be a Messiah? You know, people got a wrong idea about Judas. They do. They think he was a mean curmudgeon. He was a dirty, wicked individual. My Bible said when Judas came and kissed Jesus in that garden and betrayed him by a kiss, the Bible, the Greek says, which is the word of God, not the Greek language, now, but the Bible, the real word of God says, that Judas affectionately kissed Jesus. He didn't go up there to just go, this is a guy I'm going to kiss. I kiss him. That's it. No, sir. He absolutely took him in his arms and gave him a hug, and somehow he loved him and kissed him, but he betrayed him. And there's many a person right today loves Jesus Christ and give him the kiss of betrayal because they turned down the word. I want you to get that because that's the Bible. I don't care what you think. That's the Bible. That thus saith the Lord. By the Holy Scripture, he affectionately kissed him. Why? I believe he was one of those who thought that he was doing God a service. Not just for the money. No doubt like our Pentecostals today who have their gold-plated little things to put in the wall in their anointed pocketbooks. Yeah, all those things. I really believe they think they're doing God a service. And they're right. They are. And I believe that Judas absolutely betrayed Jesus thinking that he was right. Him himself trying to be a savior to the world. see, but he died for it. History shows it by the Bible. We can trace this truth right back to Ezekiel. And there in Ezekiel 28:12-15, the Bible says, thou hast been in Eden, thou art the anointed cherub, the coverer. Satan himself was the anointed cherub of God that sat on the mercy seat. Christ on one side and he on the other. Now listen, the Bible said Satan, you know, Beelzebub, same one, Lucifer, that fallen angel, he was anointed. What was he anointed with? Don't tell me it wasn't the Holy Ghost, because you're wrong. It was the Holy Ghost. See where the world today? They say, why, Brother Dale, Brother Branham, look, you guys got to be crazy. And say, you're as crazy as Branham, because he taught and you believe it. Well, you believe that a guy out here that's a reprobate and a miserable miscreant and not a servant of God can have the Holy Ghost upon him and do these great things? Do you mean to? I mean to tell you, I do, because Satan himself had the Holy Ghost upon him. What else was he anointed with? He was not anointed with the Holy Ghost, and neither was Jesus, and neither was Paul, neither was John, neither you, because the word anointing is anointing. But that's what it is. He had the Holy Ghost, and what did he do? He perverted the word and threw down a third of the host of heaven. What do these people do today at the end time? They work the anointing of God upon them. They pervert the word, and the people fall away, never to be renewed. As the Bible said, those angels are kept in chains and never can repent. And they're going to face judgment. So will these at the end time. Right. You follow the scripture? My brother, my sister, we got to be blind as bats not to know the truth. The Bible is the word of God. Listen. So we see the deception of the fundamentalists, the sleeping virgins, the religious people, comes through this anointing apart from the word, ushering in and accepting the man of sin through this. That's right. Show me a place where they're not speaking in tongues today. Show me a place where they're not talking about the charismatic gifts and so on. And even today, the charisma is amongst people. They use that very word amongst the non-elect, the reprobates out here. Even amongst those that would turn the country upside down in anarchy and spoil the very things we stand for. They say they've got a gift. They're charismatic creatures. My God, that's it. The separation of brides from the church comes to this also. Chaff is separated from wheat. Let me read over here. I like some of these scriptures. You got to forgive me if I repeat myself, but I got a good example. Brother Branham repeated himself too. As long as I can do some of the little things he did, feel very happy. So I'm going to repeat like he did. And of course, not as good as he did. Don't mistake me there. But I can do my own little way. Getting your hair. Doing it. Mark the 6th, 4th chapter. It talks about this day. It says, and so was the kingdom of God. Verse 26. As if a man should cast seed in the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring out and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn ear, and when the fruit is brought forth. See? Immediately, right away, no waiting for it, he putteth in the sickle. Not putteth in, but sendeth forth the sickle, the harvester. See? Now listen, this is the wrong translation. Now people get mad at me because I call a wrong translation the King James Version. Brother Branham did not authenticate the King James Version. He endorsed it. And one time there was a question in his mind, and the angel of God appeared and said, take the dialogue down and look it up. It was in the King James Version. How come he said, take the dialogue? It's not the King James Version. It's what the King James Version came out of, that's the Word of God. This is the translation. Now listen to the translation. The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn. No, sir, it doesn't say that. You're not an ara. It doesn't say it to make sense. Now here's what it says. First the blade, then a covering for the grain, then the grain in the covering. What am I driving at? The chaff is not the wheat and has no part of it. God first made the covering, chaff. Then he made the wheat in the chaff. Now he's got to separate them. What's going to separate chaff and wheat? They're so close, they look alike. The word. Give them the word test. Now listen, the word test is hidden. I ask you a question. What can you prove by your word test? You stand up here today and you say, well, the prophet said so-and-so. They say, so what? Where's our vindication? You ain't got a thing. You haven't got a thing. Do you realize today that your vindication in mine is absolutely hidden? It's hidden. You can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't see it. There's no way you know it except you stand by faith. You can't prove a thing, and I can't either. And when it came down to brass tacks, God, even down the hands of the prophet, he was not allowed a Mount Carmel showdown beyond what he was allowed right here in Chicago. And God warned him. Had the prophet not been warned, they jumped in, they would have carried him out like cornwood outside that door, killed by the power of God. He might have lost his mind or not knowing what he was doing at that moment. But God warned him. I know I saw him that night. So did you when the power of life and death came in New England. And he stood there teetering on his toes, wondering if they die or not, whether what he would do. Teetered back and forth. He faced ashen and gray. And I stood there petrified and screaming inside in prayer as I've never prayed before. God, don't let him kill those people. Because I knew they were dead. Swinging back and forth. But he came to us. He said, I've granted you life. Birds of beads of perspiration pouring down, he said. Had they tricked him that day without God showing him, I doubt not 1 minute. But they could have sealed their own doom. The prophet himself was not allowed a showdown. He never had one. The showdown is Mount Zion, which is the rapture. We'll know then. Now listen. Let me read you up here in this fourth chapter. And get this straight. It says here in verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. That is absolutely an incorrect translation. It does not say that in the Bible. It says they are hidden in order that they may be manifested. The very hidden quality is God's manifestation to you today, that you're resting on that word, that you are a word, that you are a part of him, and it's hidden to everybody but you and God. Hallelujah. If I'm in misinterpreting this, I still feel good doing it, but I know I'm not. Because I don't go by feelings anymore. What I feel is what the word says. I want to prove to you. I was home one day. I was up in my office studying upstairs, and I got feeling so good. I got something in the Bible, and I began pacing up and down, and I was ready to take the roof down. Good old Pentecostals jump up and down, scream style. And you know what happened? I suddenly said, hold it. What does it say in the Greek? I went to the Greek and it was absolutely contrary to what I thought it was all about. You can get so blessed being wrong, you can go to hell shouting glory to God, hallelujah. And I don't mean to be sacrilegious. It's just the truth, my brother and my sister. And at the end time, it's the truth that counts. And it's hidden to everybody. It's hidden to everybody because that's the way God said I'm going to make it manifested. It's in the hidden thief part. You've got people looking around for things to act like a thief. It's the word of God that's already come like a thief. And stolen you away from the church, adulterous system, and sealed you into God. What is he coming for? To steal away a bride, hallelujah, the gem of the earth. They sing that song, Columbia Gem of the Ocean, whatever it is. I don't even know what the words are. Columbia Gem, some maybe you know, Brother Richard. I'm not, my memory's so lousy, I can't remember it. But I want to tell you one thing. Jesus has come for the gem, which is the bride. Sealing her in, hidden away. By the word of Almighty God, separating the chaff from the wheat. Now, let's go to the text again. It says, the falsely anointed to the word, prophets, will show great signs and wonders. Now, signs and wonders are the very same thing in the Greek, but their meaning is changed by the point of view. By this I mean, the person does the wonder or miracle. It becomes a sign of power to the doer, but to the observer, it becomes a portent, awakening amazement. Now, when the power came to Brother Branham, he stood back and watched it. Never took any glory. Never took any authority. Didn't do a thing. He just waited and watched God. Never made an organization. Never made a move. Never asked you to come to his church. He just waited. You let anybody else have a sign or a wonder. And they say, forget Brother Branham. Bless God, I'm alive. And I've got a great miracle, a great sign. I say, shut up. I'm not forgetting Brother Branham. I don't even know you. Goodbye. And I pulled down the shutters in my mind, and that takes care of it. I've had it right up there. See? You follow me? The sign and the wonder to the doer can be a trap. It never tried Brother Branham. When they said, Brother Branham, you've got the authority. Why did he do it? He said, I've got the authority, but not the command. Only what I see my father do, I do. And what I hear him say, I say. But did the rest do it? No, the rest didn't do it. Now then the people stand back. And this becomes an awakening. And the miracle that your Brother Branham woke up the screaming bride. And they said, oh, what's going on? It's a statue of glory to God. And the prophet said, the reason that pillar of fire came, he said, a message will precede my coming. And they said, message? Oh, glory to God. Wonderful. Bring on the cake and ice cream. They want the message. So they said, bring on the miracle. Bless God. Fill up our churches. That's great, Brother Branham. Well, Brother Branham, I see you're failing. You don't have the great heart. Do it, boys. But the bride said, give us a message. Where's the word? Oh, Brother Branham, come on. Speak plainly. Bring it down. And every Sunday, we were just slugging our way through heat and drought and you name it. Go to church, bleary-eyed, slug our way in there and wait for that magic word as it were. We now know it never came. It was all magic all the way down the line. See, we're bride crying, wanting reality. What's the love of the truth? But you let a man get a sign today, what happens? It manifests their fault. What did Brother Branham say about that sign in his hand? Well, he said, that thing not, I'm going to say this in my own vulgar way, not that it was a phony, but it became a phony because of what they fell for. They began smelling and seeing and feeling and everything else. Tricked them, trapped them. When those with God would have stood back and said, hey, what, just what is this? Looking for light, like John the Baptist, a bright and shining light. You rejoice in his light for a season, then you turn him down. So was William Branham. He was a bright and a shining lamp. Not the light, but a flame of that light. A part of that light. Because he was a part of the word for the day. Bringing the full light and the full revelation, there should be light at eventide. But everybody up the bride turned it down, see? Why? Because the sign woke them up. But the majority took the sign and took the wrong direction. Oh, hallelujah. It's nice to be part of the bride. It becomes a sign to him instead of the word, which it did. So now they want signs and wonders. They don't want any words. So does the people that got the sign. They don't care about the word. They say, well, I got to be right. I'm doing it, aren't I? Judas did it too. All the elect see through it. As we already saw in Peter, that no matter what the manifestation, go to that word. Now what was it opened the door to the era of this age? And I'm quitting with this. It was the restoration of the gift that went to seed and produced the chaff. Remember, justification went to seed. Sanctification went to seed, and therefore tongues, which is part of the gift, they go to seed too. So we've got a gift ministry went to seed. Follow me? Now, thus it is my belief that we are beyond the gift. As Brother Branham said, if you're interested in these gift ministries and so on, it is evident you are in the Laodicean age when this is the age when the move is on for the bride. Now, thus it is my belief we are beyond the gift. We are in the mind, M-I-N-D-H. The last moving part was the eye, the eagle. But that has come and gone, and now revelation has set in. It is the period of truth coming to birth. When it does, it will bring forth a word manifested bride. In the meantime, we are in for a bumper crop of the false anointed one. What is the antidote? Stay with the word, getting the word yet. I haven't said one thing today the prophet didn't say. Not one thing. Everything he taught, I have taught. I've just gone this far in that, as he told us, that we were to take it. And when we take it, brother, sister, you cannot help but see the truth that he taught in the scripture. And he said, every scripture will bring forth Christ. And I hope you've got a better understanding today, not because I've preached it, but simply by trying to preach again what he preached. Because remember, even Paul the Apostle believed in repetition. He said, it's good for you. Bring it again to your attention that this is it for the end time. The word. Give them the word back. I don't care what they produce. But I'll tell you, brother, sister, the biggest thing in the world, the hardest thing, is for a man to bring his thoughts into captivity to a prophet. And when you consider in this day of education and intellectualism, to bring a little man on the platform who was not educated. Now, don't call him ignorant, or I'll come with my brass knuckles, which I haven't bought yet, but I will, if you force me to. He was not ignorant. Neither was he stupid. Because I've been around brilliant men. In fact, I was taught for a while by Dr. Coffin in Canada, who was the president of Dalhousie University when you and I were hardly out of diapers. I've been around some of the most brilliant men living. But I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't trust their brains as far as I trust William Branham. And I'm not talking about anointing of the Holy Ghost either. I'm talking about a simple man with a fine brain and a fine understanding. But because he came in the last days, without the polished rhetoric that the world wants. And he's coat a certain way, and he's buttoned a certain way, and his fishtails a certain way, and he strikes like an undertaker. Well, he wasn't an embalmer, he was a bringer upper. See? He doesn't straighten people out, that's where the undertaker straightens out. And the fellow said, yes. They turned him down, and they called him ignorant. Until even a business manager called him a Kentucky hillbilly. I don't go for that. Because as I saw that man, I've never known a man with a keener brain, a finer intellect, more scholarly in the things that we ought to be schooled in, more educated, because a yuko means let out, not driven in. He was let out. So I've never known a more outgoing, more compassionate, more wonderful Christian scholarly gentlemen in my life, so I've seen some of the greatest and very best. Anybody had some of his spelling a little wrong? But as Dr. Coffin once said, grammar is the ability to make yourself understood. So you take it from there. The Lord bless you. It's been a pleasure with you. I've had a great time, and if you haven't, you know, come back again so I can enjoy you. The Lord love you. What is it?